Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for what God is doing. And you know, sometimes we underestimate the power of God. We estimate our abilities, our talents, you know, our callings, you know, and think it's insignificant. But how many know God really doesn't need your, how do I say that? You know, when Jesus came to the disciples and he said to them, "Do you have any meat?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Well, cast your net on the right side of the ship." Yeah. And you've heard me say this many a times. They're fishermen. I'm sure they've tried that side of the ship. Now, you know, there's something different when Jesus begins to speak into your circumstances or your situation. But what I love about this is Jesus did not need their fish. It really wasn't even about the fish. It was not about their efforts to catch it. It was not about their harvest. It was not about their ministry. It was not about what they could do, because when they came to the shore, Jesus already had bread and fish on the fire. I don't need your fish. I need your faith. I need your trust. I need your response, that when I speak, you respond. And when you respond, it's no telling what could happen. Hallelujah. When we'll just be obedient to his voice. Because when they cast the net on the right side of the ship, Jesus said, Peter says, "That is my Lord. I know that voice." Hallelujah. How many know it took Peter a little while to get with the program? It took him a little while to figure it out. We're going to talk about that a little bit here this morning. But how many know it's not about what you can give to him so much is about what you can just yield, your life that is yielded to him. Hallelujah. Your obedience is all he needs, because he has the ability to bring into your life whatever resources, whatever talents, whatever skills is needed. He will never call you to do anything that he does not equip you to do. So the next time you feel like God is taking you a certain direction, or God is speaking something into your life, and you say, "Well, God, I don't have the education for that. I don't have the finances for that. I don't have the means for that." You need to quit second guessing yourself, and you need to quit limiting God and say, "God, if you're calling me, you will never call me to anything you didn't equip me for. And if you equip me for it, there's no better equipment than what you can give to me." Hallelujah. And when you sanction it, when you speak into it, there's no telling what could happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stand here this morning thinking, God, you are just have an incredible sense of humor. Can anybody say that with me this morning? God, you just have an incredible sense of humor. I look back over my life and think, and Sister Jenny said 50 years today. 50 years celebration of the power of God in her life, and the power of God to change families and generations, because there was a grandma somewhere who knew about Jesus, and she brought the grandkids to Jesus, and then they brought their kids and other people's kids to Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we don't know what the power of God can do in the life. A person that's transformed by the power of God may be the very vessel that may one day come back and be the ministry to your own house, to your own kids, to your own ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So never underestimate the power of God to move exceedingly abundantly. If you're sitting here today and say, "Man, God's never done anything like that in my family," well, today's a good day to start. Hallelujah. If you want to rewrite your story, hallelujah, because it's for the whosoever will. How many know it just takes somebody standing up and say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make a stand right here, right now, and say that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we are a force to be reckoned with. We are anointed and appointed. We are called and purposed. We are destined for such a day as this, and I don't care whatever contrary wind blows against your house, because if your house is built on a firm foundation, it will stand, and I declare that my house will stand, that my loins will be blessed, my children will be blessed, my kids are anointed." Hallelujah. And the enemy has no place in my house. I mean, no, the blood of Jesus is on the doorpost of my house. The shoes are on my feet. My staff is in my hand because I've been called for more than the slavery of Egypt. Hallelujah. There's a land of promise that I can live and reside in, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the power of God in our life. How many can say that you better, your life has been better since you come to know Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many can stand, raise your hand today and say, thank him, he's healed my body. Hallelujah. How many of you can lift your hand and say, he's saved my soul? Hallelujah. How many can say, he's provided finances in a way that I didn't see him coming, but he has blessed me beyond what I deserved, and I'm thankful for the blessing. Hallelujah. And I want you to know today, you don't have to apologize for the blessings of God in your life. Because he said he would bless you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. He wants to bless us more than we even know. And you know, the blessings don't just come in finances. Finances come and go. They really seriously don't. And the older I get, the more I realize how unnecessary a lot of those things are and how important things like family and good health and home and freedom. You know, I stood here this morning as I was worshiping, saying, here I am, Lord, worshiping you with all that I am, worshiping you, thinking that there are places that don't have the freedom that I have to just cry out to God today and just to lift my hands in praise and say, God, I come to bless you today. I come to worship you today. I'm not in bondage by any slaveholder or any mindset. Hallelujah. How many know that we sang that song, Break Every Chain? And, you know, sometimes we think that just means break the chain of addiction, or it means break the chain of habit. And I believe God will do that. You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody in here been set free from some habits and some addictions that God has set you free from? Hallelujah. But it can also mean break every chain, every mindset, every stronghold of your mind that holds you back, that makes you think you're less than who you are, that makes you think you don't have a right to the goodness of God, that makes you think that you're enslaved to religion or mindsets or people's opinions of you. How many know those things can be every much a chain as an addiction or a habit can be? But how many are thankful for the power of God that breaks off every chain, every mindset, every stronghold that holds me back? Hallelujah. Paul and Silas are in prison and they're in chains, the real deal. And they're in the inner prison, you know, where the real bad guys go for preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. They got guards watching them. Because they're with the real bad guys for preaching the gospel. But it said about midnight, Paul looks at Silas and says, Silas, I think I got a song in me. Silas said, I feel like praising him too. You go ahead, I'll jump right in. Hallelujah, because I'm going to tell you what, about the midnight hour when you're sitting in a place of chains or bondage or strongholds, you got to start lifting up the name of Jesus and said, you know what, I still got a little praise left in me. Hallelujah, when David was down in the cave of Adullam, he was there with 400 men in a bad mood. David had two options. I can either join the crowd or I can lift up my voice and I can remember that I was born to worship. Hallelujah. He writes the Psalm 57, I believe it is. If you go back and read it, it's a psalm he writes while he's in the cave. And everywhere around is the discouragement and discontentment and despair. He said, I can either join the pity party or I can lift up the name of Jesus and I can be an atmosphere changer and change circumstances around me. And before you know, somebody else is humming that same tune you got. And the next thing you know, you got three-part harmony going on in the cave of Adullam and somebody's coming out of that cave different than what they went in. You go on over in Samuel a little bit, and David's got a whole lot of really mighty men backing him up. Let me tell you, some of those men came out of the cave of Adullam. One of them killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, that's my kind of guy. That's not a guy who's left in the cave singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's somebody who learned the power of praise. Paul and Silas started to lift up their voice, and as they did, the heavens started to tremble, but so did the earth. I want to tell you today, it's not about what's just happening in the heavens. It's bringing the heavens to the earth and causing your circumstances to shake until the things that are strongholds in your life are broken. And not just for your benefit. How many know the prison guard came, was going to take his own life? And they said, no, 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 don't go there. We're all here. I don't have any intention of going. We're having prayer meeting. Hallelujah. We're having a Holy Ghost party. And I'm not in any hurry to go. Don't hurt yourself. They end up taking the prisoners take them to back to his house, and his whole house gets saved because Paul looks at Silas and said, I got a little song left in me today. I'm going to go ahead and lift up the name of Jesus no matter what I'm looking at, no matter what my circumstance seemed like. I'm going to lift my voice in praise. David's harp was way more powerful than his sword. Hallelujah. He got the sword of Goliath, but his harp was way more powerful than his sword. Never change your harp. Never trade your harp for a sword. The sword of Goliath was only a reminder of past victories, but it was the heart of a worshiper in the cave that brought him out of there. It wasn't the sword he used to get out of the cave, nor was it the sword he used against Saul, but it was the anointing that he walked in that was way more powerful than the sword of Goliath. Hallelujah. Well, that isn't my sermon today. That was just the prelude. That was a trailer. So I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 8 this morning. That one was free. That was an advertisement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello to our Nigerian friends today if they're listening. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Matthew 8, and this is something, it's really a very simple sermon. I don't know that it's great, deep revelation, but it's what the Lord put on my heart for this house this morning, so that's where we're going. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 23, it's the portion of Scripture where Jesus quiets the storm. Hallelujah. Anybody ever went through a storm in your life? Those are elements that seem forceful that you have no control over. How many know sometimes, you know, I just said before, there was a wise man and a foolish man in the Scripture, and they both built a house. But the rains came to both houses. It didn't just come, you know, if you're the wise man, you build your house on the rock, no rain ever comes. But he said the rain came to both houses. But when it came and the storms and the floods rose and the storms came, the house that was built on a solid foundation stood where the house that was on the sand collapsed. Hallelujah. There is no substitute for a firm foundation. Not in your own life, not in your family's life. How many know we need to be established on the rock, Christ Jesus? He is the center of our life. He is the center of our existence. He is my rock on which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen? And so here they are. These guys are in a boat, and they're in a ship. And it says in verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. I love that. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I mean, we're early on in the chapter of Matthew. Now, these guys are fishermen, right? They know they've been in boats before. They've been on the sea before. Chances are they've probably encountered a storm before. But here they are in the ship, And the scripture says that Jesus is asleep in the ship, but the ship is getting beat up with waves so bad that it's just about to overtake them. And they wake him up out of the ship, and they say to him, "Lord, save us. We're going down. We're about to perish. My Bible says we are about to die." Hallelujah. Ever went in through anything that you thought you just might die before you get through it? A couple of us have. Hallelujah. But Jesus says something to them in this. He wakes up out of his night's nap and says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you fearful?" Now, as I began to read this chapter last night and looked at this portion of scripture, number one, if I'm in the boat with the guys, I'm going to be doing the same thing they are. Any honest people in here today? Now, I've been on a cruise ship, you know, and they tell you how beautiful it is. You stand up on the balcony and overlook that water. I just think that is an awful sight. Now, inside that boat, there's a lot of good things to do, but that dark, deep abyss. I was thinking about you this morning, Jim. I have the greatest respect for you. Because spending day after day after day on that deep, dark abyss, that uncharted water, whatever's down under there, is just ugly to me. And I was thinking, now, if I was on a big ship like that, like a cruise ship or, you know, Navy ship, and I went overboard, the sharks could do whatever they needed to do because I'd be dead before I hit the water probably because I'd be having a heart attack. Because the thought of whatever is under that freaks me out, okay? So now, there you know, I have some fear in my life. I've bared my soul to you, but in the day, it's not near as intimidating, right? I don't know that they're in those kind of waters, but how many know they're in a major storm? And it says they're on the sea, and the waves are hitting so bad that they're fearful. And Jesus wakes up out of his sleep and says, "Oh, you have little faith, why are you fearful?" And I'm thinking, well, that's a silly question, you know? But he's saying to them, "Why are you so fearful?" But when I thought about this chapter, when I went back and looked, there are some preceding things that happen before they're in this ship on the waters. Number one, in Matthew 1 through 4, it tells us, "Then he was, when he come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean.' Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." It goes on down in the next part, 5 through 13, and it's the centurion's servant who calls to him and says, "Lord, my servant lay sick. And sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus says, "I'll come to him." And I love this. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you would even come under my roof. But if you would just speak a word." In his humility and in his faith in God, he said, "I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. But I know that you speak with authority. And if you speak the word, my servant will be made whole from this day." And how many know Jesus says, "I'm not seeing so great a faith as this." Hallelujah. I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel or among his own people. I mean, no, he's looking for that kind of faith. Faith that says, "I don't have any right to your healing. I don't have any right for you to come to your, I'm not worthy to receive what you have, but I know that you are a man that speaks with authority. And if you'll speak, not even my own healing, my servant will be healed." And he said, "I'm not seeing so great a faith in all of Israel." Hallelujah. But he chastises them because he said, "People will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." But he said, "The children of the kingdom are going to miss out on what I'm doing." And then he goes on in chapter, in verse 14 of the same thing. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And so Jesus goes and heals Peter's mother-in-law. She lay sick with a fever. And then after that, there are many possessed with demons and devils, and they are sick. And Jesus heals the multitude of their sickness. And then he puts them in a boat, and a storm arises, and they are afraid that they're about to go down. And They wake him up and said, Lord, don't you care? We perish. And Jesus stands up out of the boat and says, winds, calm. Seas, cease. Where is your faith? You just saw me heal the leper of his leprosy. You just saw me heal the centurion's servant. Peter, I just healed your mother-in-law. Whether that's good news or bad news, I did. I healed your mother-in-law. You just saw me cast out devils. You saw me heal the sick. And then the first time a storm arises in your life, you question my control. You question my care. You question my concern. Now, we can look at this portion of Scripture, and maybe you see yourself in it or maybe you don't. But you know, I've been teaching a lot lately on remembering our past memorials. And we shared this a little bit Wednesday night. One reason why I started out with testimonies this morning is because they are faith builders. They encourage you. They make you think outside of your box. So that if somebody said today, I've been healed of leprosy, then you probably have faith to be healed of a headache. Hallelujah. If somebody's been tormented with palsy and they've been healed, and you've got sickness in your body, how many know all of a sudden I'm starting to think I might be healed also? Hallelujah. When we see God do the miraculous among us, sometimes I think we don't take the time to say, thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, God, for safe travels. Thank you for the healing. When I talked to Robin last night, we went in Thursday night, anointed him with oil, prayed over him in that ICU room, and they were contemplating putting a ventilator in him because they thought the lungs were damaged to the point they would not come back. And we laid hands on him and anointed him in that hospital room. And I said, not on my day and not on my watch. I call forth the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost in this room. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was in that ICU room on Thursday night. And we continued to pray. She said on Sunday when you guys had prayer, there was a turnaround from the time they got there that morning until that afternoon. They could see by the 12:30 on the clock that there had already been a change. We anointed him with oil. When she called me last night, she said, Pastor Lisa, there is a 200% turnaround in him. His lung function is back to normal. They're taking him to a step-down room, and he has almost no oxygen on him. I said, God, you are just too good to me. God, you are just too good to us. Hallelujah. And so I thank him for every good sign that we see, every healing, every progress we see. Hallelujah. And let me tell you what it does is cause you to realize the next time something seems to rear its ugly head that seems a little bit like a storm, you don't have to fear because I got some preceding miracles ahead of me. I got some memorials. I got some things that I'm going to remember. When David got to the house of Ahimelech and he asked for a weapon, they said, we don't have anything here except the sword of Goliath. He said, I'll take it. And nowhere in the scripture do we ever see that David ever did anything with that sword, except I think he leaned on it and contemplated, you know what? I was born for more than this. I've been on run from Saul. I've been forgetting my anointing. I was anointed to be king. I'm a giant slayer. I'm an anointed worshiper. I'm a servant. I'm a priest unto God. And I refuse to dwell in a cave of discouragement. I'm going to lead this band of motley crew out of here because I'm going to remember the past victories that God already gave me. And if he did it before, he can do it again. Hallelujah. How many know what he's saying to his disciples? Did you forget everything I already done in the preceding times there? I just healed the leper. I just healed the centurion's son. I healed your mother-in-law. Hallelujah. And I healed the sick. Hallelujah. And so we go over in Mark. How many know there's a lot of things at stake for a fisherman in a storm? Your boat, your resources, your family business, your lives, your family's livelihood. And for heaven's sakes, you got the rabbi in the boat. Nobody wants to go down with a rabbi in the boat. And worst case scenario, your fishing equipment could be lost. Hallelujah. That's a bad day fishing. But in Mark chapter 4, if you want to turn there in verse 35. And I love this. It's another version. This may be the same one as we just read. So I'm going to call this storm number one, okay? And it says, and the same day, in verse 35 of Mark 4, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Now let me just say to you, that is in red letters. That means the man himself said it. And whatever he says will come to pass. Amen? So he says to them, let us pass over to the other side. Can I tell you this morning, we're going over, we're not going under. It may seem like obstacles in the way, but he said, we're going over, we're going over. Hallelujah. I'm not going down with the ship, we're going over, we're not going under. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's a bad day, isn't it, Jim? And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep, and not just asleep, asleep on a pillow. I like that. He's in a comfortable place. He's resting. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now this is another version of what Matthew describes of the point that's taken place over there. Couple little things I want to bring out. And David, you said one of these things when he was here. But number one, we have to notice that there were other little ships around them. How many know when you're in a storm or a crisis situation, you're generally not in it by yourself, but there are a whole lot of other little ships that are watching how you respond or handle yourself in storm or crisis. Amen? We don't really have the luxury of just having our own little pity party and getting on with it. How many know, as men or women in your house, your children watch how you respond in storms or crisis? Do you go to Jesus? Do you fall apart? Do you have faith? Do you trust God? Do you pray? What is it that you do in the middle of a storm that you are modeling to them? This is how you face crisis. Now, I can't tell you I've always passed that test. I mean, you know, there's things hit us, and they come out of nowhere, and there's sometimes I just say, you know what, I didn't see that one coming. Kind of lost my balance for a few minutes there, but I've got my feet established. I mean, there's sometimes that things come into your life or you experience crisis or storms, whatever you want to call it, chaos, that you say, Lord, I didn't see that one coming. I don't know that I was prepared for that. But how you respond in that and how you portray the faithfulness of God in the midst of that is interpreted by other little ships that are watching you. But one of the things they said to him when they go down to wake him up in the ship, they said to him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And if you remember, David, you shared this at our conference this year. He said, there might be a whole lot of things you might question, but don't you ever question if I care. You might question my tactics. You might question my timing. How many know when he was 4 days late at the death of Lazarus, they questioned his timing. They questioned his input. They questioned why he did not come. He said, you might question whether I spit in the mud and heal, or whether I speak the word, or whether I lay on hands, or you might question how I do it, but don't you ever question if I care. Hallelujah. So how many know it doesn't matter what you go through or where you're at in your life and in your circumstances or situations. I want to tell you today, He cares. Yeah. About the things that you care about. He cares where you are. He cares how you're walking. He cares how you're handling it. And how many know some of the best faith builders in our life is when we walk through things and say, you know, I can attest to the faithfulness of God, because I can tell you time after time when He's brought me through things that I thought I'd die in the middle of. But I'm here to tell you, I didn't go under. I went over. Hallelujah. I didn't go down with the ship. I made it to the other side of that circumstance. But one of the things that will help you get there is don't ever question the fact that I care. You always need to know that I care. But keep your eyes on me, boys, because I'm modeling something to you.
Biggest, you know, like you said, the biggest thing that I believe that promotes our faith is when we know He really cares. Faith, when I know He really cares, then my faith goes to another dimension. If God, who did not spare His Son, but freely gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? So if He didn't spare His Son, He loved us that much, He wouldn't hold back something else from us. So when you know He loves you, your faith works by love. So the issue is a love issue. Do you know that He cares? And, you know, you look back even at the children of Israel, you would think at some point after one miracle after the other, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, a rock is falling them, water's gushing out of this rock, their shoes aren't wearing out, their clothes aren't wearing out, there's a serpent on the pole that they get healed, the angels are delivering food on the lawn every morning. At some point, you would have thought it would have dawned on these people that God just might be for us. Yeah. But the same example, He said, don't fall after the same example of unbelief in the New Testament. And so what they, you know, you would think they could go back and see at some point that, hey, over and over and over again, God has done this. Maybe we ought to just trust Him here, you know. And so I believe that rather than faith coming by formulas, faith comes by understanding He loves me, He cares for me. And when I know He loves me unconditionally, it's not based on do I deserve it, do I not deserve it. It is based on the fact that He just is love. He doesn't just have love, He is love. That He's always for you and not against you.
And what happens sometimes, our mindsets are blocked, just like the man said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I mean, it didn't have a thing to do with his worthiness, whether he was worthy or not. And sometimes we think that, and I've dealt with this many, many times in ministry, that people think, well, I just don't know that I'm worthy enough for God to move. Maybe I've got sin in my life and this is why this is coming. I want you to know today, He loves you. Just as Dr. Lynn was telling you, He loves you. You may be in a storm. You may be in a circumstance that you did not see coming. And it may be some of your doings. It may not be some of your doings. How many know sometimes we bring some things on ourselves and then we want to question it. Whether it's your doings and it's not your doings. He said to them, they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? One thing you'll never have to question is if I care. Hallelujah. You never have to question if I care. But number one, first thing He does, He models for them. He's asleep on a pillow in the ship in the midst of a storm. How many know if you want it, teach it. If you want it exhibited, model it. How many know He's given them an example? I want to tell you, boys, you can go through a storm and sleep through it, as it were, or be at peace in the middle of the storm, where the storm may be raging all around you, but it does not affect where you're operating from, or operating from a place of rest and a place of His peace. There could be chaos all around you, but you can be in a state of peace that says, I got peace in knowing that I'm loved.
I was thinking about the scripture that said, if I make my bed in hell, God will be there. And sometimes we think of that, there's a lot of ways to look at that, but simply if you're going through hell, make your bed. Just lay down and rest and let God do the work. If you work, God will rest. If you rest, God will work. And so when you rest, even in the midst of your situation, and you lay on your pillow, that's when God goes to work, because you trust Him to do it. So, you know, that it's a matter of resting even in the midst of that, knowing he loves us. And, you know, you think about even right behind this miracle that Jesus does with the ship, to kind of go along with the thought of unworthiness, immediately after that, he heals a guy that's demon-possessed. Mm-hmm. So if it's based on how good you are, if anybody's not worthy, it's a demon-possessed bunch of guys out in the graveyard cutting themselves, mm-hmm. as far as deserving. But it's not about deserving. It's about the goodness of God.
Yes,
that's
is.
Always good. And if God can heal a demon-possessed man in a graveyard cutting himself, there's nothing you've done that's too bad that God can't. It's not, your sin can't stop God from healing you. Matter of fact, the book of James, he said, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. And if he has committed any sin, it will be forgiven him. So James thought that important enough to write in to say that your sin can't even stop God from healing you if you just simply believe he does care about you. Because that's the weapon of the enemy, is the weapon of condemnation. He forms the weapon of condemnation, but no weapon formed against you can prosper if you know that your righteousness is of him, saith the Lord, you know. And so your right standing is not based on your performance, but based on what he did to make you righteous. So ain't nothing can stop the miraculous.
There's nothing the blood didn't cover. There's nothing the blood didn't purchase or pay for. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, he said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Number one thing is, don't ever question if I care. He already told you we're going over to the other side. Hallelujah. There are other ships watching your response and how you handle yourself in a storm or a crisis. He was asleep on a pillow that was a model of perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says that I'll give them perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. Message says it like this. People with their minds set on you keep completely whole, steady on their feet because they keep at it and don't quit. Hallelujah. They said in this response to what he does, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey? I mean, know sometimes the wind and the sea are more obedient than we are.
Amen.
What manner of man that even the winds and the seas obey his voice, that at the sound of his voice, hallelujah. So it's only just a matter of time till we go over into Mark chapter 6, and there's another storm. So you figure by the time they get in this second storm, they've got it figured out, right? All right, so Jesus said, don't ever question that I care, and he speaks to the wind. So we get hit second storm in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, and says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea. And would have passed them by. I love that. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid. And he went up with them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. How many know he had just done the miracle of feeding the 5,000 preceding this episode in the storm? And then he sends the multitude away. He sees them in toil, and he walks to them in the storm. How many know the first time he's asleep in the ship on a pillow? The second time he's walking on top of the sea. He's walking on the storm. He models to them both times how to react in the middle of a storm. Don't let the storm control you. You control the storm. You have peace in the middle of the storm. Have faith. It seemed as if he would pass by. Again, this goes back to where he does not need your boat, only your faith and your trust. And he says, come on, guys, I'll just race you to the other side. Quit trying to limit him to your box or your ship or what you understand or are comfortable with. How many know he says he's walking on the sea and he would have passed on by them, but they cried out to him in their fear of the ship. What he's doing is say, you can either take this boat to the other side, or you can walk it to the other side, whichever way you feel like you got to get there. But I'm going to tell you, the storm does not have you. You are in control in the midst of this storm if you'll cry out in faith. If you'll know that, I love you. Hallelujah. You don't have to question that I care. But it said, at the sound of his voice, he said to them, be of good cheer, be not afraid. Hallelujah. Now go to Matthew chapter 14. Probably one of the most popular ones. Everybody say storm number three. First storm, he's asleep on a pillow in the ship. Second storm, he walks on the water to get to them as they are rowing, toiling, working, stressing through the midst of the storm. Now we're on storm number three. Verse 14, Matthew 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in a ship and to go before him where? To the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We can say storm number three, or we can say continuation of Mark's story from another angle. And verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. How many know there's a different response in this version of the storm than there was in any of the others that we had read? First time, Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the ship. Second time, he comes walking on the water to them. Third story or response we see here, Jesus is walking on the water. Peter stands up this time out of the boat and says, all right, I think I'm getting my eyes open to this. Lord, if this is you, bid me come. How many know there's a whole big difference between saying, Master, don't you care that we perish? Or, Lord, don't you know that we're going down? Or saying, you know what? This time I'm going to get up and step out of the boat. Lord, if this is you, if you're in the midst of everything that happens to me, if I already know that you care about me, go ahead and summons me to call me out of my boat, call me out of my safety place, call me out of my comfortable place. Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you. And Peter gets out of the boat this time and walks above the storm, walks on the water. Now, Peter gets a bad rap and says, well, Peter didn't have a lot of faith. Peter had, you know, oh, ye of little faith. He looked at the storm. He looked at the circumstances, you know, and when he started to take his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the storm and everything around him, he went under. That's all probably good. That's all probably true. But can I just tell you this? He's the only one that we know of that got out of the boat. It was modeled to everybody else. First time he's asleep, second time he walks, third time I'm walking on the water. Hallelujah. How many know there's a whole different response in this story than there was in any of the other stories preceding that? We're not in uncharted waters here. This is not our first rodeo. How many know we've been here before? Our response is a thing that must change. Amen? We've been in this circumstance before. We've been in this situation before. What must change is our response to it. First time or so, it blew me away. First time, I was fearful. Fear took hold of my heart. I cried out. I was afraid. But you know what? Third time, I think maybe I was born to walk on water. I didn't know it the first one. I didn't know it the second one. But about this time, I think I was born to walk on water. I mean, some days you got to get out of bed, put your feet on the floor and said, you know what? I think I was born to walk on water today. It may not have, nothing may have changed in the night. Nothing may have changed in your circumstances. But how you respond to those circumstances have changed. Now all of a sudden I'm not going down with the ship. I'm not going under. I'm going over because my response in the middle of the circumstance has changed. And today I think I can walk on water. He may not have been totally successful the first time. There's always a next time. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody going to have the nerve to say, Lord, I'm trusting you for some things. Lord, I'm believing you for some big things. And they seem like biggies when those waves are crashing and the night is dark and the storm is big. They seem like big things. And I got to repent before you, Lord, because I got to say sometimes I've said, Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care that we perish? But today, I made up my mind if the storm hits me again, or if I'm in some uncharted waters, or I'm trusting God for some things, I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe I was just born to walk on water, and maybe today's my day to step out in faith to something that I've never walked in before. I want to tell you this morning, God is calling us to higher places than we've ever walked in. There are people waiting to hear what we've got to say. We got to quit being afraid of every storm that might splash against the boat and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and step out of this place. I don't know where it goes from here, and I may go down, but I'm going to go down either walking it out and mimicking, modeling what I've seen the Master do. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to put one foot in front of the other and said, you know what? Even if I do take my eyes off of Jesus for a moment, he reaches his hand out to me and he grabs my hand and he lifts me up out of that place and together we walk this thing out. So I want to say to you today, if you're trusting God for some big things, if the winds seem contrary to you, if it seems like everything you've tried before has ended up in fear, go ahead and try walking on water. Hallelujah, because who knows that you weren't born for this. Hallelujah. We're not in uncharted waters. We've been here before. He slept in the first storm. He walked above the second one. It's your turn to make a bold move today. Hallelujah. You didn't know you had it in you till you gave it a shot. Quit thinking you don't have it in you. There's more in you than you know. The storm slowed their arrival to Gennesaret. Gennesaret was where they were heading to when they were going to cross over. It means a garden of riches. I'm just going to go ahead and get out of the boat today because there's a garden of riches waiting ahead of me. And I'm not letting any obstacle, any storm, or anything stand in my way of the fullness or the greatness of what God wants to do in and amongst our midst. Not just in my life, in your life, that God wants to break you forth and an anointing and a ministry. Quit holding yourself back because there's more in you than you know. There's a garden of riches just ahead. Hallelujah. There's too much at stake to go down with the ship. It said when they got to Gennesaret, many were healed. They said if we could just but touch the hem of his garment, we could be made every whit whole. That was what was said by the folks in Gennesaret. Can I tell you, there's too much at stake for us to stay where we are and live in fear of storms and live by limitations. Quit living by the limitations of your boat or your ship. Go ahead and step out of the boat. Walk on water, because there's somebody in Gennesaret that says, when Jesus gets here, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. And there's a little lady that comes while Jesus is there, and she says she doesn't have the right to be made whole. She's unclean by virtue of the law, but she said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. And today is the day that I defy the law, that I break out of every stronghold, every chain that's held me back from receiving of him. I didn't think I was worthy, so if I can sneak in from behind, nobody will even know that I've come in from behind to touch the hem of his garment, and maybe I could be healed and nobody know that I had broke the law or made him unclean. But when she touched him, something miraculous happened, not only in her, but in him. It said, who touched me? For I felt virtue flow out of me. And she was made everywhere whole. And there she lay crouching on the crowd as the crowd parted. And the disciples are saying, seriously, Lord, you want to know who touched you? Everybody in Gennesaret has been waiting for you to get here so they can touch you. And you want us to know who touched you? He said, no, I mean really touched me. Because when she touched me, virtue, something happened inside of me. And virtue flowed out of me. And she was made every whit whole. How many know for 12 years she'd been waiting on somebody to touch her, but could not be touched by any man? And all of a sudden, the virtue of Jesus flowed to her, and she was made every whit whole. Peter, there's too much at stake here for you not to get out of the boat. There's a whole garden of riches, a Gennesaret, and a generation of people that are waiting to touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Do you have it in you today? Thank you to all those preceding me who got out of the boat. Thank you, Jenny, for 50 years ago getting out of the boat you were in and taking a step of faith with Grandma Barker. Thanks, Mom, for getting out of the boat you were in, because it made it easier for me to walk on water. Thank you to those. Thanks, Lynn and Joyce, for paving the way for the nations of Nigeria to hear from a little church on a hill in Berkeley Springs. Thank you to those who have walked on water preceding me. Because today it gives me faith to believe, you know what? Maybe I really was born to walk on water. Maybe I really was born to walk on water. How many know sometimes you've got to get out of your comfortable place? Sometimes you've got to get out of that place of fear, that place that says, this is all I know. How many know those boys knew boats? They were fishermen. They knew boats. But sometimes you've got to get out of the place that you know, because there's something greater in you than you know. If you've been battling storms, learn to walk on water today. Stand to your feet with me today. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. If it's you, bid me come. Because if you're calling me, if you're bidding me to come, we're going to go through this together. I'm not going under. I'm going over, because I was born to walk on water. Hallelujah. As Beth sings a song for us this morning, I just want you to do that with me this morning, wherever you are in your place, in your space, in your time, in your season. I just want you to say, Lord, bid me come. Whatever it is you are calling me to, give me water walking faith this morning. Give me the faith to trust you beyond the place that I'm in. Don't let me have the same response every time I hit a roadblock or a storm or a circumstance. Don't let me every time be controlled by fear. Somewhere along the line, I got to get the faith to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to walk above this. I'm going to rise above this. Hallelujah. So that when my feet hit the floor tomorrow morning, I say, you know what? Today, I was born to walk on water. Hallelujah. Contrary winds have no voice in my life. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Hallelujah. So lift your hands all over this place this morning. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, bid me come. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to realize the potential that's in me. Help me to realize the gifting and the calling that's in me. Hallelujah. Help me to know, Lord, that I was born to walk on water. Hallelujah. Lord, as we lift our hands all over this place today, Lord, we're believing you for great things. Father, we're getting out of the boat when it comes to jobs and education and circumstances, God, finances. We're getting out of the boat. Hallelujah. There's people in this house that have goals and have things that they would like to do, but yet they're held back either by finances or fear or failure or whatever. I say to you, step out of the boat today. Hallelujah. There are those who are facing storms that they didn't see coming. Hallelujah. But Lord, I say today, peace to every storm and every situation. Hallelujah. The Lord, that even the winds and the seas must obey your voice. Hallelujah. Lord, I challenge this house to another level, God. Lord, that we just quit tolerating storms in our life. But Father, that we learn to rise above them. And Lord, that we can model even for the other little ships around us. Hallelujah. That Lord, I was born today to walk on water. Hallelujah. Lord, for storms that would come in the regions or realms even of sickness and health issues, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, those things that would come against our mind that would seem to be storms, Father, I speak peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I declare in this house that there is water walking faith, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you'd like to have a special anointing, you'd like us to pray with you or something in particular, and you want to come down, we'll anoint you and pray over you this morning. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah.